Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
We're back with another Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy Etzel. I've tracked Tommy to the studio. I've pulled you away from Collingwood again, mate.
Collingwood again. I need a tent down there or a permanent spot in the coffee shop. I've been looking for Jordan to go in. Jeremy Howe, I want to discuss that phone issue shortly.
We will get to that. But first of all, just a quick review from the weekend, Tommy. The big winners, your big winners from this weekend?
The Bulldogs, Melbourne, and include Max Gawn and Christian Petrarca in that bracket. I saw Petrarca kick that goal from the City end yesterday from about 45 metres out. He's absolutely incredible. Love watching him play. The Giants, Leon Cameron's resurrected his coaching career in the space of 2 weeks. Good on him. And I thought Buddy kicking 5 goals. That's not easy. It was his second or third game back.
Yeah.
Which is great to see.
Yeah. Also, probably worth a mention for the Doggies, 11 goals unanswered in the first half against the Suns. What about your big losers for the weekend, mate?
St Kilda, we can't forget their performance from Thursday night. There's issues down there, mainly concerning injuries, it looks like, in their ruckman, but still a discussion point. And Carlton, want to do a deep dive on the Blues today.
Yep, deep dive on the Blues sounds good. Gold Coast, another big loser out of that weekend. I think it was almost... you know, like first year in the competition level stuff in the first half there.
They just don't know yet how to win. It sounds like a pretty simplistic analysis. They've got a lot of good players who are getting the ball, but there's just something about them that's just not going that well.
Yeah,
I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, they just can't quite get over that those final hurdles, can they? Let's chat a little bit. You've been hot on this story the last couple of days, Tommy. I've seen on Twitter and on Channel 7. The Anzac Day and Anzac Eve crowds, we're looking like 100% capacity is on the go.
Yeah, some real momentum behind this. Now, basically, to cut a long story short, the AFL did a trial over the weekend at 2 games where fans have to submit their mobile number and their name for all spectators on the booking. And I'm told that trial went well and the AFL will continue that trial at all venues next weekend. Now, the chief health officer here in Victoria is reviewing that trial as we speak. And if they're satisfied with the data, i.e. people have submitted the right details and all the rest of it, I think we'll get 100% for this weekend, which will include Anzac Day, which would be fantastic. Now, there's already discussion, Rudy, if we got 100% crowds in Victoria this weekend, whether, in fact, Anzac Eve between Richmond and Melbourne could be higher than Anzac Day. But that'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it, having two absolutely massive crowds at the MCG this weekend?
Yeah, it's you go back 12 months and it seemed a long way away, didn't it? So it's wonderful to think that we're just about there.
But if it doesn't happen this week, it'll happen next week. So there's real momentum behind 100% capacity, which will also, I think, boost crowds at other games. So there's a lot of people say, oh, well, you'll only get 100,000 or 90,000, you know, once a year. Well, no, I think if we get 100%, it'll encourage people to go and hopefully bring all the crowds in Victoria up.
Will they change the ticketing system, do you think? Because I know that that's been a bit of a concern for a lot of people is having to buy tickets away from their seats that they like, or you can't buy enough tickets to sit with all the people you want to sit with.
No, I don't think they'll change it. I think they still need some certainty around that. There's no sign. I know that some of those things are onerous, particularly for older people. There's the COVID zones breaking down at the MCG into certain zones. And apparently it's hard when you go online because you got to get the other people that book with you with their email addresses to then approve the booking. It is a bit complex, but it's just the state of play we're in with COVID, I think.
Yep. Makes sense. You wanted to chat as well on the subject of Collingwood. You mentioned it earlier, the phone issue from Friday night.
Yeah, the AFL's investigation continues today. Collingwood admitted fault in a statement regarding the mobile phones on Saturday. I think the AFL's view is that it was definitely a bad look and the rules are clear cut. So it'll come down to whether they fine Collingwood or Howe and De Goey. They might just fine the club, for example. And it'll also come down to whether they issue a fine or a suspended fine. But the point is integrity issues are serious. So, you know, it's easy to brush these things aside. I'm not suggesting that either player did anything wrong, but these are serious issues and the integrity department don't take these types of issues lightly.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what happens there because it feels like it's a very light end of the scale infraction, if you will, doesn't it? Because those men, when they were not going to play any further part in the game. May have just been, I feel like it's a pretty innocent thing, but...
it looks innocent, yeah. But I think the integrity department just want to tick off that it was.
Yeah.
In any case, the players know they're not meant to do it, and I think the AFL will take that view.
Yeah, fair enough. Carlton, you wanted to chat about as well. There's lots going on there.
There's going to be a lot of focus on Carlton this week and in coming weeks. They're 2-3, which is not too bad, and they've got 4 pretty difficult games coming up. But I think that as far as Patrick Cripps goes, I mentioned him on this podcast last week. I think he's waiting on signs that Carlton's improving before he wants to sign a new deal. I think there's going to be selection pressure at Carlton this week. The likes of Eddie Betts, Gibbons, Murphy, Petrefsky, Seaton. There's already some calls, I think, this morning for them to bring back Stocker. So there's some selection issues. But I think just broadly speaking at Carlton, this is the administration's selections in terms of the coach, in terms of the football manager, in terms of their fitness appointment, Andrew Russell, even in terms of the VFL coach. All these administrative appointments go back to this idea that last year there was an expectation within the club that they'd make finals, an internal one, I believe. And they sort of got away with that because of the fact that COVID, basically. But this year, there's no escaping, in my view, that there's an expectation they should make finals. And at the moment, the latest test was against Port on Saturday night. They failed that. Now, granted, Port is a serious premiership contender. But I think there's also a bit of pressure. There's growing pressure on Teague. I mean, Carlton's paying 105% of the salary cap or something close to it. They're at full tilt as far as all their players are concerned. And he's playing a pretty experienced midfield. So at some point, Carlton are going to have to start winning some of these games. Now, I know the game against Port was difficult, but I just don't think Carlton can go without scrutiny.
Yeah, it's when you look at the raw numbers with Carlton, it's the two wins have been against Fremantle in Melbourne and Gold Coast. So they're not really the kind of meritorious wins you'd be hoping for if you're going to be pushing for the top eight. You know, like the loss to Collingwood that they've had, and then obviously Richmond and Port Adelaide are going to be at the pointy end. But yeah, it's there's a lot to play out at Carlton. I think we'll be coming back to them a fair bit during the year, Tommy, as we do this podcast. Just before we sign off for the day, you want to chat some injuries?
Yeah, do. And also Collingwood, obviously Dugowie will be missing from a concussion perspective for Anzac Day, as will Howe. We're trying to find out the extent of his hamstring injury today. It's interesting, Ridley will be missing for the Bombers, which is a big out as well. So they've both got a couple of big outs. But I think Nathan Buckley's performance and Collingwood's performance was a pass, in my view, against West Coast. They lost Dugowie, they lost Howe, and they were broadly speaking competitive. But what did you make of it?
No, I tend to agree with you on that. I don't think that would have moved the needle in either direction on the long-term future of Nathan Buckley. I think if you'd offered Collingwood that kind of result prior to the game, I think they probably would have, or Collingwood fans, I should say, not Collingwood the club, I think they probably would have said that's about right.
There'll be a big discussion this week whether Buck should leave Darcy more forward or bring him back into defence, obviously, particularly given Howe's injury. We'll see, but it's a good discussion point. I like the fact that he's already, Buck's prepared to change things up despite not having a contract, so it's a pretty bold play. Just on some injuries this morning, Rudy, I'll give you an update. Patrick Dangerfield, now we're down 7 News at Geelong today, just checking on this. He's got an ankle injury. They sort of described it as a tweak.
Right, yeah.
That always concerns me.
I was at that game yesterday, and yeah, he went off pretty sore after a collision in the third quarter, and then went out and played in the fourth quarter, but ended up on the bench in runners towards the end when Geelong had the game sealed, so interesting to see.
Tom Hickey, a big one for the Swans. I expect they'll confirm that it's a PCL, which will be medium to long term. He's hugely important, been in really good form for the Swans, and I reckon, well, obviously with that Heaney, Rampy and Hickey, they could start to maybe drop some games. That'll be a discussion point. And I mentioned Ridley with his concussion. So that's an injury update this morning, Rudy.
Yes, there you go. I think that just about does us for the day, Tommy. I'll let you get back to Collingwood and see if you can sniff out those
boys. They'd
be
sick of me down there, surely. The coffee shop like me. I keep ordering my peppermint teas.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. I do like a peppermint tea, especially when the weather's cooling
down.
You've
got to add cold water. It's always too hot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you can just be patient and wait, but patience maybe not your thing, Tommy?
No, it's not my thing. I want a result from the AFL on the mobile phone investigation, but I don't think we'll get that today. Collingwood working on a please explain. It is interesting. Collingwood's had a change in their off-field with their football administration this year. Nick Maxwell and Graham Wright look after football operations. Marcus Wagner, who was doing it, is helping Bucks in a match day role in the box. So maybe there was just a bit of confusion, but they're all very professional operators. I'm sure they'll learn. They might be 20 grand lighter in the process. We'll find out.
Indeed. All right. That will do us for today, Tommy. We'll be back Wednesday to chat more about what's going on. I'm sure there'll be plenty of news between now and then. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Rudy.